All right, what's up, guys? This is the Lapka and Tally podcast here with Kevin Lapka and Ryan Tally. But we are joined today by special guest betting expert Michael Neal. He's joining us today. We're going to go over the divisional round, recap some of these games. Say what up, Mike.
What up, what up?
Yeah, there he is. And we're going to do a little bit of championship round picks and bets for those games this week. But we're going to start with these divisional round games. All in all, a pretty boring divisional round, I would say. The only close game was Saints versus Eagles. Came down the last minute, which is a fun game, but the rest of them were not necessarily blowouts, but not entertaining games, to say the least. But we're going to start with that Colts versus Chiefs game. Kind of a score that people did not expect. The Chiefs knocked off the Colts 31-13. Pretty easy win for the Chiefs. Chiefs defense really stepped up. But Ryan, we'll start with you. What did you see from this game, and are the Chiefs looking like a real threat against the Patriots this week?
Yeah, I think they are. The Colts were a lot of people's sleeper pick. They were that dark horse candidate that was going to sneak into the Super Bowl. They've been playing well for the past 12 games, I believe. They won 11 of their last 12, or 10 of their last 11.
Yes.
Rather. And they were playing well on both sides of the ball, dominating at the line of scrimmage. And that didn't happen this week. The Chiefs absolutely dominated them offensively, defensively, which is a shock because this is one of the worst defenses in the league, but they did not play like it on Saturday. The Colts were getting manhandled. Andrew Luck sacked 3 times, 24 yards, and when you can't get any offense to try and equal what the Chiefs are able to do, it's tough. Going down 14-0 in the first quarter, not a great start when you're playing against Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. This is not the team you want to be playing behind against. You kind of need to be ahead of them and hope that you can stay ahead of them rather than come from behind. And this was just, it was a pretty easy victory for the Kansas City Chiefs. Got the run game going. Didn't have to rely on Patrick Mahomes to be completely dominant, as he was only 27 for 41, which is okay, not exactly what we had been seeing all season from him. So, yeah, pretty easy win here for the Chiefs.
Yeah, Mike, what did you see from this one?
You know, this is Pat Mahomes' first playoff game, and I didn't see this to be very much of a test for him. Colts didn't really play that well. Mahomes is going to be seeing the Patriots again next week. It'll be a bigger test for him, but this week, Chiefs has got an easy win at home.
Yeah, again, I'm going to go out there and say the MVP of this division, Rodriguez, was the Chiefs' defense. I mean, this is a Colts offense that I thought, you know, I wasn't necessarily going to take the under on this game, but I certainly thought it would be a game that, you know, you would be looking at 25, 27, something like that, and I knew the Colts would have to score points against a Kansas City Chiefs offense. That's what their team is built upon. But, you know, this Kansas City defense stepped up, like you said, 3 sacks against the best offensive line in the league, and they're really going to need that to continue next week. You look at players like Chris Jones and Dee Ford, guys like that. If they can really step up and make plays against this Patriots team next week, you're definitely looking at a possible Chiefs win. But yes, Kansas City Chiefs did come out with the win 31-13 in this division round game, so they will see the Patriots next. So we can move on to our next game, the second Saturday game of the weekend, which was the Dallas Cowboys versus the Los Angeles Rams in LA. It was looking real rainy earlier in the day, but the rain died down and it appeared to not be a factor in this game. Certainly for the Rams running backs, who ran all over a pretty good Dallas defense. I believe they had a total of 230-something yards. Both C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley went over 100 yards on the day. And on the other hand, Ezekiel Elliott had only 50 yards. So, you know, we were saying all week that Ezekiel Elliott would be the key, and he is the key to this team, that he would be the key in this game, and he did not show up necessarily. So Rams get the win, 30-22. Ryan, what did you see from that one?
This was the classic Dallas Cowboys right here in the playoffs. Could have had a big game against a Rams defense that is not really known for their run game. And that is a Cowboys specialty. If they don't get Zeke going, bad things happen when you're forced to rely upon Dak Prescott throwing the ball constantly, or at least throwing the ball as the only source to generate some offense. Zeke only rushed for 47 yards on 20 carries. Terrible day for him. It was the fewest yards allowed in the postseason game since 1984, the Rams, less than 50. Wow. First time they'd done that.
So, rushing yards, that is.
Yeah, yeah, rushing yards. So a huge day for them. This is what they needed to do. That was the recipe for success to them. Stop Zeke, stop the Cowboys. And it was that simple. And they rushed all over this Cowboys defense. 273 total rushing yards.
Wow.
Two rushers over 115 yards. Three total touchdowns from their running backs. So this was just the Rams taking over what the Cowboys are known for and completely reversing it on them and running all over them and stopping their run game. And Jared Goff was not forced to make a ton of plays, and I think that's the key. If the Rams can get Todd Gurley the ball, even C.J. Anderson now, if he can continue to run well, I think this Rams team has a legitimate shot at beating the Saints because they're going to need to slow the game down, burn some clock, and not let Drew Brees get a chance to really dominate in that game. So going into next week, the Rams are looking really good, and another divisional round loss for the Cowboys. They have not passed the divisional round since 1995. So this is not Troy Aikman's Cowboys.
No, obviously. It is not. Not at all. Like you said, I think it's huge that the Los Angeles Rams are getting a little bit of momentum back because certainly some of that momentum was dying down later in the season. You kind of saw a similar trend with the Saints, but both those teams seem to be getting some momentum. Mike, how do you think some of that momentum is going to affect next week, and how do you think the Rams played last week?
I think this running back duo right here with C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley is working very nice for him. C.J. Anderson wasn't on the Rams roster until week 16, and I think that's a big factor moving forward. Seeing, taking a little bit of load off Todd Gurley and just get to spread the ball around with him and C.J. Anderson, taking the load on both, making the easy on Jared Goff. So this is C.J. Anderson is a huge addition for this Rams team going forward, looking to run it well against the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the carry totals between C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley, that's 39 total carries, which is a very, very large number. So, and, you know, against this Saints defense, it's going to be very big for them to get both of those guys going. And this is a Dallas Cowboys defense that I thought was going to be able to stop that. You talk, all year, the talk was about Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, Sean Lee, about those inside linebackers and their speed and their ability to stop very good running backs. And they did not show up. There was that viral video of the coach yelling at him on the sideline. And rightfully so. I mean, this is a defense that I certainly did not expect to get shredded like that. But the Dallas Cowboys are out of the playoffs. They're going to need to change a few things in the offseason to get them prepared for next year. But Rams win 30-22 on that last Saturday game. We're going to move on now to the early Sunday game. Pretty much domination from the New England Patriots. They defeat the Los Angeles Chargers 41-28 pretty easily. I believe they scored a touchdown in their first four possessions, which I believe was some sort of playoff record. You know, this is just the same old Patriots at home. Not next week because they're on the road, but at home in the division round, the Patriots are 13-2. So you pretty much could have expected a win in that one, but I certainly don't think many people expected the demolition that we saw on Sunday. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, this score makes it appear that this game was somewhat close, you know, within two possessions. That was not the case. Chargers scored a bunch of late two late touchdowns in the fourth quarter to make this game somewhat close, but the Patriots absolutely dominated them from the start. They won. At the end of the half, they were leading 35-7. So that is not a great sign for the Chargers going into halftime down 28 points to the greatest quarterback of all time. So clearly the Patriots knew what they were doing. They knew how to take advantage of this Chargers defense that had been playing very well this season. I believe they were the ninth-ranked defense in the league, and they got manhandled by this Patriots offense. And this isn't new. Patriots tend to do this all the time against teams that we think have good defenses. And the Chargers really couldn't get anything going offensively. Only 19 rushing yards, which is not that surprising since they were down for the entire game. So this Patriots team, they just continue to roll. People say they're done, the dynasty's over, and they continue to roll. And it's going to be tough to continue to say that this dynasty's over if they keep putting up performances like this.
You know, this game by the Chargers was just a poor showing overall. I know the Chargers were going in the game was Chargers were plus four. I took them at plus four, but they just did not show up. They were just completely dominated all out the entire game. This game was over by the first quarter, in my opinion. It was 14-7 after the first quarter, and the only reason that Chargers had a touchdown was the 43-yard pass to Keenan Allen, where whoever's calling got lost, and that was
Stephen Gilmore, I think.
Easy touchdown for Phillip Rivers to Keenan Allen, and then after that, just the late points didn't really seem to matter for them.
Yeah, you saw this New England defense hold. Was Melvin Gordon an All-Pro? I can't remember. I'm not sure he was an All-Pro, but probably a Pro Bowler. Whether he's a Pro Bowler or All-Pro, he's a very good player, and the Patriots held him to 9 carries, 15 yards, and 1 touchdown. So, hell of a performance by that Patriots run defense. And, you know, as much as you think that the Kansas City Chiefs do not have a run game, you know, Damian Williams ran for 126 yards last week. Darrell Williams, LSU rookie, he comes out and he gets a few yards here and there. And then who's the other guy they have? Forget. They have one more guy. Spencer Ware still gets in there a little bit. Charkendrick West. So this Patriots off rush defense is really going to have to get in there and stop that that Chiefs rush offense. But yes, Patriots win 41-28. Chargers, they've been eliminated. They'll have to fix some things in the offseason as well. But they're a team that's
one last
note.
You want to talk about dominance. Tom Brady is now 8-0 versus Phillip Rivers in his career, including playoffs. So it's tough. It's tough to beat that. Tom Brady absolutely dominating the Chargers and Phillip Rivers, and it's tough when you got to face them in the playoffs with that record.
Right, and very likely, probably see him again next year. I see both these teams heading back to playoffs next year, but hopefully Chargers will get the home playoff game or something. That way they don't have to see Brady on the road. But, yep, Tom Brady 8-0 versus Phillip Rivers. That continued this weekend. We're going to move on now to the last game of the weekend and the most exciting game. The New Orleans Saints barely squeeze out a win against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Saints were the better team in this game, but when it came down to it, Philadelphia had a chance, but Alshon Jeffrey lets down the city of Philadelphia as the ball goes right through his hand and is intercepted by Marshawn Lattimore. So the Saints secure the win, 20-14, and they will host the LA Rams next week. Ryan, I know you're an Eagles guy. I know this was a painful one to watch, but what else did you see from this one?
Yeah, the Eagles started off the game exactly how they needed to start off this game. Come out fast, come out quick, get an interception on the very first play of the game, come down and score a touchdown, stop them again, score another touchdown, already up 14-0. It looked like this was going to be a shocking upset, maybe even a blowout.
Yeah.
And then the Saints get the ball on their third possession. They punt it. This was the Eagles' chance to really capitalize in this game, to put the Saints away. You could go up 17-0, 21-0. And it's going to be tough to come back from that big of a lead in the first quarter. And Nick Foles throws an interception, and that seemed to really be the turning point of the game. The Saints get the ball after the interception. They get a fake punt conversion. They come down the field, score on fourth down, and that really turned the game around. The Eagles really did nothing offensively after that interception for the most part. Punt after punt, and it was really a tale of two quarters in the first half of the Eagles. Came out very, very strong in the first quarter. Then that second quarter, they really could not get anything going offensively. Defense was struggling, and it seemed like this was going to get be an easy win for the Saints until Will Lutz missed that field goal, and then the Eagles have the chance to come down. And you really think that the magic was still in the air. Nick Foles was going to lead another game-winning drive, and just a drop pass ends the magic right then and there. It was a tough break. Probably should not have gone for it right before the two-minute warning, in my opinion.
That's
no point in rushing that play. You have plenty of time. The ball was at, I believe, the 33-yard line for the Saints, or inside the 30, actually. So, like, there was no point in rushing that play, and I really think that it's a mistake that you obviously can't fix after it happens. So you live and you learn, and that's what happens. You try and make a play, and sometimes it just doesn't go your way, and that's how the legend of Nick Foles ends in Philadelphia.
Right, and just to clarify, Alshon Jeffrey did say in Week 14 that he has the best hands in the NFL, so that certainly was a quote that came back to bite him. But, Mike, you know, this Eagles team, or this Saints team, rather, not the most impressive game you want to see, but what else do you think they need to do to beat the Rams next week, and how do you think they fared in this game?
Well, I definitely think Drew Brees needs to get going against the Rams. He only 20 points for the Saints this week, which was a lot very surprising considering last time the Saints and Eagles met, it was 48-7 lopsided score in favor of the Saints, scoring at least a touchdown each quarter. I thought this game was going to see we were going to see some Nick Foles magic based on the score in the at the end of the first quarter. The Saints were not looking greatest; they were very sloppy. Interception on the first drive, it just wasn't looking good, and then they got things going a little bit, we're able to scrap out some points, and just, you know, they have to make sure when playing the Rams to get that defense, keep the defense, or keep CJ Anderson and Todd Gurley from getting going, so we'll have to see what happens.
Yep, Saints win though, 20-14, barely sneak it out. I'm sure the whole city of New Orleans is saying thank you, Alshon Jeffrey, although you can't pin the whole game on him. You know, it's like saying you can't pin the whole game on Cody Parkey. It's that same situation, but in the end, he did not make the play that they needed to. So, Saints win 2014. They move on. They will host the Rams next week to our division or our championship round picks, the juicier part of the episode where we go over our best bets, over, under, spread, for what we want to see in these championship round games. So, we've got the Patriots at the Chiefs, and we've got the Rams at the Saints. So we're going to start with this Rams versus Saints game. I think, first of all, the most interesting thing about both of these games is these were both matchups that occurred earlier in the year, so it will surely be a storyline of how those earlier matchups, you know, will affect these games and what do we see from those earlier matchups that we can take away for these games. But Rams versus Saints, this one is going to start at a 3.5 point favorite for the New Orleans Saints. So as the home team, you would expect that. The Rams, like you said, did not have a lot of momentum going late to the season. So Ryan, Rams or Saints 3.5 point favorite, who you got in this one and why?
I'm going to take the Rams to cover and the Saints to win. I think this game's going to come down to a late touchdown or a late field goal. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I'm going to take the under in this game of 57. I think if I had to give a score, I'd say about 27-23. I think this game is going to be tightly contested the entire game. Not a whole lot of scoring like we saw in the first matchup earlier in the season. So I think this is going to come down to a late drive by Drew Brees or a late drive by Jared Goff, maybe for the win. And I like the Rams to cover. I like the Rams to cover in some fashion. I think it's going to be a very, very close game. I think the final 2 minutes are going to be huge. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm going to be taking the Rams at +3.5 as well. I definitely think this game has been coming down to a last-minute field goal, or maybe not a last-minute field goal, but a field goal. Saints are going to win by, I think it's going to be 31-28. I think that puts you at the over-under maybe at 56. So
you're going under.
I'm going under. I think this could be they're going to have to play. This is going to be more of a defensive kind of battle. We're not going to be seeing this 45-35 like last time. We're going to be Breeze has not lost a home playoff game, and playing in New Orleans is a huge, huge benefit for the Saints.
Right, it's a really tough game to pick. I'm having trouble picking both these games, and this one especially because, well, let's look at the Saints now. They did lose. This is a big storyline. They lost defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins, which is not good for a defense that's about to go up against an offense that just put up 270-plus rushing yards. So they did sign a former Bills defensive tackle. Don't really know his name, but he's certainly not Sheldon Rankins. So, you know, will that Los Angeles Rams running game be able to get going against this New Orleans defense? Because they've got a good secondary, and this front seven's been good. But, look, Sheldon Rankins is a big-time player, and he's not a guy that draws a lot of numbers or a guy that draws a lot of attention. But sometimes those interior guys, if you lose a piece like that, it can really break down a whole defense. So we'll see how that impacts it. So I will say I do like the Rams to have a big rushing game. But, you know, then you got the Rams on defense. You got Marcus Peters, who's talking all that talk. We saw in that previous matchup against the Saints, he said, you know, I tell Sean Payton to keep talking that shit and we can go get some gumbo or something. And he's talking all that. But, you know, Michael Thomas last week proved that he's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. And he shredded Marcus Peters earlier in the year. And I think that's going to be a matchup that, like Sean Payton said, they really like. So, all in all, again, it's a really hard game to pick, but you can't get over the New Orleans Saints at home and that Drew Brees playoff record at home. You just can't get over it, undefeated. And I think this defense will step up. Marshawn Lattimore, I think they're going to get takeaways. And I'm going to disagree with you guys. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think it's going to hit the over. I'm going to go with something around, you know, 31-28, something like that. Not crazy, like 45-35. But I think, you know, if the Saints are going to want to win this game, I think the Rams are going to put up points. So if they want to win this game, which I think they do, they're going to have to score some points themselves. You know, Drew Brees had a good game last week, 301 yards, 2 touchdowns. So I expect that to continue, and I really expect Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram to have big games as well. So I'm taking the Saints in the over. Ryan and Mike are taking the Saints, but the under. Yeah. So they think it's going to be close in the end. I agree. I think it could come down to a late field goal or a late touchdown. Certainly, I think it's going to be a close game. You're definitely not looking at any type of blowout in this one on Sunday. We're going to move on now to the second game of this championship weekend. Another very intriguing matchup. Kind of the one most people expected. Another game that we saw in week 6 of the season where the Patriots, I believe, won 43 to 40, and they also won on a late field goal. Mike, we'll start with you, I guess. Do you think that continues in this game? Do you think it comes down to the end, and who do you think is going to win this one in Arrowhead?
Yeah, I definitely think this is coming down to another field goal. Both these games this weekend are coming down to a field goal, in my opinion. Saw last game, Mahomes and Brady both were 325 plus yards.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes 4 touchdowns, Brady 1 touchdown. But we're playing this week. This game is going to be -5 to 10 degrees. That is something when you're considering throwing the football. Foxborough just knows how to play in that cold weather. But mm-hmm. You know, Mahomes is going to be a real test for him against this Patriots. Last game, 43 to 40. I don't think it's going to be like that this time. I definitely think it'll be under the 54.5 points that they're saying, and it's going to be I'm going to be taking the Patriots +3 and money line they're going to win by a field goal.
All right, so Mike's taking the Patriots by a field goal. Ryan, who do you got?
I'm going to take the Chiefs here. I'm going to take them to win. I am going to take the over in this game. I think this is going to be a pretty high-scoring game. Definitely not 43-40, but I do think that there's going to be some points scored in this game just for the simple fact that the Chiefs know that they can't necessarily rely on their defense. They did have a good week this week against the Colts, but you can't rely on that defense to come up big against Tom Brady the same way they came in big against Andrew Luck. Completely different players, and one is Tom Brady. So you really gotta score points to beat this Patriots team, and I think they are gonna score a ton of points. I think they're gonna keep the pedal to the metal. They're not gonna stop. They're gonna keep trying to score as many times as they can. I think they're gonna win this game at home. It's the first time that a conference championship's ever being played at Arrowhead and Kansas City. So this is a big game for the Chiefs, and I think they're going to come out strong, and I think they're going to win this game, and they're going to go into the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Like Mike brought up, you know, you got the sub-zero temperatures coming up this weekend, and don't forget, Patrick Mahomes was a quarterback who played at Texas Tech. So he certainly is not familiar with any type of cold weather. And yes, I know he threw for 200 yards, no touchdowns in the snow last week. But, you know, you're not going to see guys as wide open as they were on Sunday against the Colts. I mean, we're watching the game, all three of us. We saw how wide open these guys were. I can certainly tell you Bill Belichick will not allow that. The scheme is going to be whatever they're going to come with. Bill Belichick's going to be prepared with the scheme. It happens every year as of late. You know, the Patriots come into the playoffs, and they seem more vulnerable each year. As Tom Brady gets older, the vulnerability seems to gain. It's like, oh, well, Tom Brady's getting a little older, and is this Patriots team finally going to not make the Super Bowl? And you know what? I just think they're going to keep doing it, keep chugging along until he retires, and I think it continues this year. I'm going to take the Pats in this one. There's got to be some statistic of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick against rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs, or not rookie quarterbacks, but first playoff appearance quarterbacks. Yeah. There's got to be some sort of stat. I'm sure they rarely lose against quarterbacks like that. And yes, I know Patrick Mahomes is a one of a kind second year player, one of a kind, all that. But again, I'm not going to doubt the Patriots, even on the road, even in Arrowhead. To me, you know, like Ryan said, the Chiefs defense played good against Colts. They played good. But this is still the defense that ranked 28th in the NFL all year. They didn't show up against the Patriots earlier in the year. And yes, I know it was in Foxborough, and that's what everyone wants to bring up. But again, Bill Belichick against Patrick Mahomes in their scheme. I'm going to take Bill Belichick. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to live up to the expectations. I'm going to actually say 3 interceptions for Pat Mahomes in this one. And Tom Brady is going to get away with about 3 touchdowns. But the key for me for this Patriots offense is Sony Michel. He has really honestly carried this offense later in the season, not last week. Obviously, Tom Brady carried the offense, but he has been the huge key to the offense, and I think he's going to be a huge key in this game. You saw the Chiefs kind of shut down Marlon Mack. I don't think they'll be able to shut down Sony Michel. I think he'll be a key. So I'm going to take the Patriots in this one at +3. I'm honestly surprised that they're underdogs and how everyone's talking about them as an underdog. Maybe not surprised that the line is at +3 for them, but the fact that so many analysts and critics are saying that the Patriots are the dogs in this game. Yeah, again, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, never underestimate the Patriots in the playoffs. So I'm taking Patriots +3. Ryan is the outlier here. He's taking the Chiefs. Mike's taking the Patriots. You're going over or under, Ryan? I forget.
I'm going over.
You're going over. I'm going over too. Mike's going under. So we all have different picks this week.
One more thing.
Yeah, one more thing. Go ahead, Ryan.
You bring up this is Bill Belichick versus Patrick Mahomes, but this is really Bill Belichick versus Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid is one of the greatest offensive minds that this league has ever seen. Super Bowl 39 rematch. The first time Andy Reid's going to be seeing Bill Belichick in the playoffs since they met in the Super Bowl. And in that game, the Eagles had a pretty good day offensively. Andy Reid knows how to scheme well, and Bill Belichick does know how to scheme well, no doubt. But this is not just going to be simply a quarterback going out there, being left out to dry, and Bill Belichick just taking advantage. This is going to be Andy Reid scheming against Bill Belichick, and it's going to be a great battle between the two minds, and I don't think that it's such an advantage that Bill Belichick has over Andy Reid's offense that the Patriots defense is going to completely dominate this Chiefs offense. That's why I think they're going to win.
Well, I see what you're saying with the coaches, with the coach matchup, because certainly, yes, I mean, the Chiefs put up 40 points on that Patriots defense earlier in the year, but this is a defense, quite frankly, that's different in the playoffs for whatever reason, and, you know, as much as you like it or not, yeah, you could say it's between the coaches, which, yes, it is. They're both great minds, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes still is a second-year quarterback making his second appearance in the playoffs. You can't just overlook that. It's not like you can just plug him in. He is what he is. He is that second-year quarterback who has, you know, not a lot of experience in the bright lights like this, not a lot of experience in the cold weather like this. So I certainly think you're right. Andy Reid knows how to scheme against Bill Belichick, and he's done it before. But the fact that it is Patrick Mahomes in there, not necessarily a veteran quarterback, could be a factor, and I think that's just what I wanted to point out there. But you are certainly right. Andy Reid and the Bill Belichick have matched up, and they know how to scheme against each other, so it'll be certainly a fantastic matchup on Sunday. So two great matchups. We're going to go on to a little bit of NFL news just to talk about a few other things before we wrap it up here. One thing I wanted to talk about real quick, the Packers hired Nathaniel Hackett as Matt LaFleur's offensive coordinator. In case you didn't know, he's the former offensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So if you're Green Bay in the front office over there, I got a lot of questions for you on why you're hiring the Jacksonville Jaguars offensive coordinator to be the coach for Aaron Rodgers. What's your take on that?
Well, not only that, but they keep Mike Pettine as their defensive coordinator. which makes zero sense. It seems like they're focusing on the wrong side of the ball here. Like we talked about last time, Aaron Rodgers is not the guy who needs help on this Packers team. He's not the guy who needs to have some offensive genius come in and completely change everything for him. He knows what he's doing. The defense is the problem, so it really does not make a lot of sense, in my opinion, to bring in these offensive guys and just leave the defensive side of the ball unchanged, untouched, and I think it's really going to hurt them in the long run, and I think they're going to continue to waste Aaron Rodgers' talent.
Yeah, so it's certainly something to keep your eye on because, again, you know, that Jacksonville Jaguars offense was not fantastic at all by any means. Sure, they were okay 2 years ago when they made it to the AFC Championship, and they kind of did some good things with Leonard Fournette, but this is an offensive coordinator who's about to go from coaching Blake Bortles to Aaron Rodgers, so that's quite the leap for Nathaniel Hackett there. Some other notes, I'll talk to this about you, about Nick Foles. You can kind of make some offseason predictions here. Obviously, this is what I would say the storyline of the Eagles offseason. You got Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles. You got MVP runner-up, or not necessarily runner-up, but what's the word?
Candidate.
MVP candidate Carson Wentz from 2017. And yes, Carson Wentz is a younger, better player, but you can't get over the fact that Nick Foles did lead this team to a Super Bowl, brought this team back from 6-7 this year. I know it's about 90% chance he doesn't stay, but as an Eagles fan, what's your take on that, and where do you think he could possibly land?
Well, Doug Peterson came out today, and he did adamantly confirm that Carson Wentz is the quarterback moving forward, and that's really no surprise if you're actually paying attention to this Eagles team. Nick Foles is absolutely amazing when the pressure's on, but his regular season stats don't really offer a lot of optimism about his future outlooks as a starting quarterback. I do believe a team is definitely going to take a chance on him, whether that's in a trade, which it might be difficult for the Eagles to pull off just because of how the contract is worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do think a team like Jacksonville might take a shot if they draft a quarterback early in this draft or even second round, whatever, as a stopgap, maybe. The Giants, but I highly doubt it considering I don't think Eli Manning's retiring, I don't think they're going to get rid of him. So a team that is kind of looking to bridge a gap for a quarterback for a couple games, maybe even a full season, until a younger guy, or waiting until next year to get a new quarterback. So I definitely don't foresee Nick Foles as an Eagle next year. I think he will move on in his career, and I think he will start the season with a team as the starter. Mm-hmm. How long that lasts, I'm not sure, but I don't see him moving into another backup role. If he wanted to be a backup, he'd just stay with the Eagles. But I do think he's going to get a starting job from someone looking to try and bridge a gap for a younger guy.
I agree.
As a quarterback.
100%. The only two teams you're really looking at for me are the Miami Dolphins and, like you said, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those are two teams right now.
Also the Broncos, I think, possibly. If they want to move on.
Right. They've had questions with Case Keenum. And they're a team, quite frankly, that has a lot of talent. So, you know, if they think Nick Foles can be that guy to put him over the edge next year and get him into the playoffs, that could be possible. I mean, that's the funny thing, though. As I'm looking at these NFL teams, now that we're talking about quarterbacks, I'm looking at a lot of teams here who really don't have quarterback problems. In previous years, as of quite recently, honestly, there's been like multiple vacancies for quarterback positions around the league. And now that I'm looking at it, you know, I only see about three teams maybe who have quarterback vacancies. If you're talking about Miami, Jacksonville, possibly Denver. But everyone else, to me, has the quarterback either of the future or of the now.
Also, I don't want to interrupt
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I just was looking at teams. Washington, possibly with you're not sure
right
with the injury, Alex yeah. Smith how long he might be out, and do you really want to draft a quarterback early just to replace Alex Smith if you're expecting him to come back? So.
Well, that's an interesting thing too, because if you're asking me, I think the Redskins are right about that time where they need to draft a quarterback. Cause clearly, you know, they thought Alex Smith would be a guy, not necessarily to change this team that much, but to at least bring him to the playoffs, he did not do that. Yeah, I know he got injured and they could have made the playoffs if he was not injured, but that was an offense to me that wasn't changed much by the quarterback position. So that's something to keep your eye on. Speaking of the quarterback position and the draft, as it was heard yesterday, Kyler Murray has declared for the 2019 NFL draft. Apparently, he did get the contract that he wanted from the A's, but he declared for the draft. Now, that does not mean he must get draft. He must commit to the draft. He can still have that option to play baseball, but he at least got that notice in by the deadline in case he wants to make that decision. So I know this is quick off the right off the radar, but who are you thinking Kyler Murray for in the draft? Are you looking at those early picks? Because I'm not thinking New York, because I think they're going to take Haskins, and I think they're a team that has too much talent to take a risk on a guy like Kyler Murray. But some of these early teams, like you said, like Jacksonville or like Miami, do you think one of those teams could take Kyler Murray?
Jacksonville would be an interesting team looking to get a new style of offense in that team. You know, they've really struggled on offense for a while, and they've struggled to find the right quarterback. So I don't know if they're willing to take another shot at a quarterback drafting that high. I mean, they took Blake Bortles top 10. They took Blaine Gabbert top 10. So,
right.
It's
a risky territory,
yeah,
especially for a guy like Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I'm not so sure Kyler Murray will even get drafted that
high.
First
round?
If I'm going to be honest, because I do think teams are going to be scared of the potential of him playing baseball.
Yep.
And I also, if the right guys get in his ears, like Deion Sanders today was on ESPN, and he said Kyler Murray should play baseball. If guys start coming out and saying, I wish I didn't play football, he should play baseball, you never know, things might change in his head. And also, he is under 6 foot, very clearly. This isn't one of those situations where you stuff a couple napkins under his feet and his cleats, and he's over 6 foot. He's very clearly under 6 foot. Maybe he's listed at 5'11".
Yeah.
I think he's probably closer to 5'9", 5'10". He is... Under
yes,
6 foot.
I believe
he'd
be the shortest quarterback in the league if he entered.
I think he would.
He would be the shortest of all time. I believe Doug Flutie.
But I think
shorter.
He would be. I don't believe any quarterback has ever been drafted in the first round that's listed under 6 foot. So that is also a concern, because yes, there are guys like Russell Wilson, Drew Brees that have
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield that have dominated or have gone on to great success as a shorter quarterback. But it's tough risking that high of draft
right.
capital on a guy who might not even play the sport.
Mm-hmm.
So
I 100% agree. If I were a team, you always want to see a guy who's going to buy in. And a guy, immediately when you draft him, you know he's going to commit to the team and he's going to give everything he can to the team. And for a guy, yeah, I know what happened with Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson wasn't a guy who had a legit career in baseball. Like, he was drafted in later rounds and it was kind of an option. But Kyler Murray has a legit career.
Yeah,
he's a
exactly.
first rounder. There's a guy who can be an impact player for the A's. So if he gets drafted by whoever, that team is going to want to be like, all right, you're dropping that baseball thing right now and you're coming to practice every day in the off season. I don't want you going to spring training or anything. You're committing to the team. So that'll be interesting. I was thinking he might get drafted by the Atlanta Falcons a little later. You never know. They have to find that Matt Ryan successor pretty soon.
There's definitely some teams out there that
certainly.
I mean, if they want to take a shot, you saw the electricity that Kyler Murray has.
Right.
If you want to take a shot, it might be a good opportunity if you have a quarterback that's not necessarily done right now, but in the foreseeable future.
It'd be in the later rounds for sure.
Yeah,
if he's still available.
If you're looking at the Falcons, they're going to draft a quarterback this year. They're going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah. After
whether
they
it's Kyler Murray or anyone else, they have to draft a quarterback. Not in the first round, because that's a team
it'll
who
be
has
like,
talent.
It's be like four or five.
And your first round pick's going to mean a lot this year because you're a team that has talent looking to get back into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get that first rounder who can be an impact player for the team, that's going to be a really important pick for you guys. So that's something to keep an eye on. Some other news, I guess, that we didn't talk about last week, Freddie Kitchens, new head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He was the offensive coordinator for that team for Baker Mayfield when they went on that nice run later in the year. Adam Gase has now become the coach of the New York Jets. He already had his press conference, and it appears that he may not like New York based off of that press conference, or something in the New York air is messing him up, because I don't know what that was. And
saw
he was
a ghost
off.
Or something.
He saw a ghost, or he took a few many too many
the
drugs
ghost
before
of,
the,
of New York Jets coaches past.
Yeah, exactly, because they have not had a lot of successful coaches in the past.
Some
certain,
whisper in his ear.
Rex Ryan was talking in his ear. He's like, "You better be ready for this." Antonio Gates wants to return to the Chargers for the 2019 season, which I don't know if is a great idea. He doesn't really have much else to prove to me.
Antonio
unless he
Gates?
Still wants to get that ring. He still wants it. So.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason the Chargers really even brought him back this year was Hunter Henry tore his ACL in the preseason. They didn't even sign him until later on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know if the Chargers... At a certain point, loyalty runs out, and this is a business, and you can't be just giving guys millions of dollars just because they want to play for you. You got to make decisions at some point. I don't know if the Chargers are going to be willing to give them
Can't be asking – or a roster spot, yeah. Again, like I said, I think at this point for him, he probably plays with like 15% of the snaps. At this point, I bet he's just trying to get that ring.
You
trying
could
to get
see
that.
On his catches, he is really like lumbering down.
He's
he,
old,
he
man.
Does not have
Thought
the speed.
He got his final touchdown catch in that last game.
You
got to call it career, man.
Could call it career. Speaking of calling it a career, Rob Gronkowski says he has not thought about retiring, which I believe is kind of contradictory considering I've heard about a million times this dude has considered retirement, but now he's only focused on winning and all this, so... This is a guy who's too young to retire, but he has a lot of off-the-field issues. I believe he has a few mental health issues, but it looks like he will be back for 2019. Vinatieri has no plans to retire if the Colts want him, despite that.
They want him back, I believe.
Yeah.
They said they want him back.
Yeah, so he had a Cody Parkey-type performance against the Chiefs. He missed a 23-yarder.
That's
which is
shot.
Unexpected for a man.
I believe that's
the shortest one.
Yeah.
Shortest miss ever. Also the man who kicked the game-winning field goal in the Super Bowl in the snow. So Charles Woodson tweeted, "How come he has to miss in the snow now?" So, you know, Adam Vinatieri, looks like he'll be back.
Maybe just turned 46 years old,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's old.
Speaking of the Colts, they did get rid of their offensive line coach, which is very important to me because that Colts team – was number one in the league in offensive line for, I believe, the last 10 weeks of the season or something. And now he's gone, so we'll see what that does to the offensive line. But offensive line coach, you know, it can have a big impact on a team, certainly. Offensive coach for the Browns, what's his name?
Freddie Kitchens?
No, offensive line coach.
Oh, my man.
Seth Hutt.
What's his name, man?
Oh, I forget. But infamous
Bob Wiley,
infamous Hard Knock star, the best gut in football. Mm-hmm. He is gone.
Hate the move
in Cleveland. Who knows? Maybe some team will pick it up just for the media attention.
Yeah, for sure. It's big.
Certainly.
It's big.
I think HBO needs to just sign him for Hard Knocks and just put him in there.
And like, yeah,
just
exactly.
Can be
automatic star.
Special advisor to the team. He doesn't even have to do anything. He just has to say Set Hut.
100%. And then one last other tidbit I wanted to mention that Mike and I were talking about earlier, about going back to the playoffs and the championship round. For the past, I believe, 6 years now, the teams who have made it to the championship round are the 1-2 seeds. The last time that did not happen was 2012 when the Baltimore Ravens were not a 1-2 seed and made the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship. But, you know, it's kind of interesting now that you see this trend that 6 straight years now, teams that have been the 1-2 seed have made it to the AFC Championship. So, you know, if you're looking at next year and the years beyond that, it's not like saying a 6 seed can't make it to the Super Bowl, but it certainly seems to be increasingly important that you can lock down home field advantage in that number 1 or 2 spot. I just thought that was kind of a cool thing. Not necessarily cool, kind of annoying, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to see a wild card team make it. I mean, Aaron Rodgers made it 2010.
Yeah.
They made the Super Bowl. So it's not impossible, and it's certainly more likely than, like I always talk about, the NBA, where you're never going to see an 8 seed win the championship or... You know, I don't really watch the NHL, but I'm assuming I don't know. I'm not going to talk about the NHL because
I
don't know a single damn thing about it. But yeah, so that was the divisional round recap podcast and the championship round betting preview. Mike, it was good to have you on.
Mm-hmm.
Provide some
special
nice
guest.
Insight, special guest. We hope to have you on next week for our Super Bowl Or actually, yeah, next week.
Our Pro Bowl. Do they have lines for the Pro Bowl?
The Pro Bowl prop bet contest. How many tackles will there be in that game, or will it just be the hugging contest as it usually is? So now, 2 weeks from now, we will have our Super Bowl podcast. So that will be a fun one, previewing the Super Bowl and recapping those championship games. But hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Mike Neal, Ryan Talley, Kevin Lapka signing off. Have a good week, guys.
We'll see you later.